Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, welcome to the Wednesday show. My favorite show. We got a lot to talk about today. Best fantasy playoff matchups. Really a lot of schedule talk going forward. Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath. Getting pretty excited for Halloween. This is a great week. You can always turn on one of those random IFC, AMC, whatever channels. There's some good horror movie on. It's a good time of year, guys.
It's the worst holiday of the year.
Oh wow.
What a take.
A terrible take.
Okay, maybe Valentine's Day is worse.
Definitely. Not really holidays, though.
I mean, what's your beef with Halloween?
There's just, what's fun about it?
You're an adult. Look
angry,
at you.
Angry dad.
Yeah. Too many kids TPing your trees or something?
No, nobody's ever TPed my trees. I don't find it fun to walk around the neighborhood with a kid and have them go to strangers' houses and get candy and then check all the candy for them before they can eat it. That's not fun.
Don't check the candy.
I would rather just go buy them candy.
Did you have a bad experience as a kid?
Never.
No.
I had some great and horrible experiences.
Let's hear a horrible one.
I've gotten beat up for my candy on Halloween before.
What?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What? By who? Yeah.
By some jerk.
Ryan.
by my son.
Oh my god, that's terrible, Dave. I'm sorry.
No, I mean I was like 10,
and he never ate candy again.
Only pizza.
Right. All right. So enough of that.
Down your pizza train.
Right.
Yeah, no, don't beat up Dave for pizza. That won't end well. So, any interesting ad drops, guys? We're going to preview the Thursday night game. We're going to read a lot of emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I got some buy or sell. That's going to be in the second half of the show. Buy low, sell high. You know what we normally do on Wednesday, but recapping last night, maybe Heath just didn't get the guys he wanted, and now he's taking his frustration out on Halloween. How was your waiver wiring?
Awful.
There was one league where I needed to spend a lot of my fab budget to pick up players that would help me win, and I did not bid enough for any of them.
Is that a 16-team league?
Yeah.
Yep, me too. I've got $160 left in that league still.
Yeah.
Who'd you try and get that was available? Adams was available.
I really wanted Davante Adams. I put in for like 45 for him, and he went for 50.
Wow.
And I have money to burn, so.
Why didn't you spend it?
I didn't want to spend all of it.
What's your record there?
4-3.
Yeah, Adams went for 50. Kadeem Carey went for 25.
What's the budget?
200.
Because Adams went for 60 in my $100 budget league in one of them.
I take that back. I did get Marquise Lee.
Woo! Well, you know what?
Heath also
decided that this was the week. this was what?
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, this was finally the week where Heath decided he didn't have to ask me or consult me anymore with the team that we share. And he put in $14 for Willie Snead and dropped Nile Davis. I don't really understand why he did that.
It was $9 for Willie Snead and Nile Davis. And
why would you not pick up Willie Snead?
What happened
we don't need him.
I haven't made a waiver. Yeah, we're 1-6, Jamie. What do we need Willie Snead for? I haven't made a waiver claim in that league all year. I've just let Adam take care of that.
But we've always consulted.
Obviously, it's gone really well.
That's not true.
I was just going through last night at 9 o'clock, just every single league, just making waiver claims. And I didn't even notice what it was until I picked up Willie Snead and went back to my team. I was like, oh, this is that team. And I just left the league immediately.
Adam, you didn't see that he put that in?
No, I had no idea.
So you weren't going to pick anyone up?
No, I wasn't. Our team is too good. Our 1-6 team is too good.
Well, I would rather have Willie Snead than Nile Davis the rest of the season.
I think that's a smart move.
This week, can't wait to start him against the Seahawks. It's going to be great.
He's going to be awesome. He's going to be the best Saints receiver.
Absolutely.
It was 6 points?
No.
You guys think Snead's going to be good this week?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be the best, but I think it'll be good.
All right. You know what? Anything else you want to talk about here with ads and drops? Chiefs DST is on the most added list. They actually did pretty well in terms of fantasy points last week against the Saints. Now they get the Colts. You guys like the Chiefs DST this week?
Not bad.
Yeah, I think they're okay.
They get some sacks on luck.
They're a borderline startable option, but I would much rather have the Jets or the Titans this week.
And it's worth picking them up. Using them this week, if you take lumps against Indianapolis, that's fine. Next week, they're home against Jacksonville.
And Justin Houston may be back.
Mm.
man, saucy. What am I going to write in my streaming DST column when the Chiefs are too highly owned to be a streamer next
week? Well, you got
to
get them now.
This will be the first decent defense Jacksonville's played.
You know, it was a really tough call for me. It was Jets DST or Patriots DST, and I'm keeping the Patriots, but I'm not. I looked at the Patriots. They haven't really been that great as a DST. They did really let me down last week.
Well, and I think this week against Buffalo, Tyrod Taylor doesn't really turn the ball over.
Right, yeah.
So you're hoping that they hold the Bills to a low point total, low
He's
yardage total.
Nobody
which
around.
Which is, it's very possible.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a real high upside play because Taylor's pretty good at protecting the ball.
Yeah, I might make that swap. And I guess really the question is, how many defenses do you think are not droppable? I kind of had the Patriots in that tier for me, but I think that's dumb. I think I need to be willing to drop them and stream.
Well, they also have a bye after this game, so you're going to have to drop them.
Yeah. I think the Vikings are probably the only defense, and the Broncos, that I wouldn't drop through a bye.
Seattle?
I would keep Seattle.
That's true. What about but Arizona?
But
might
Seattle
be,
already had their bye.
Arizona might be just as good.
But Seattle's got the Saints this week.
You take your lumps. With the best defenses, you just keep them in.
And even like last week, the Saints still put up points on the Chiefs, but they had the touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they'll still get you points.
You know what I haven't asked? Is Steven Goskowski droppable?
No.
When his bye week comes, yes.
Which is next week.
Yeah, he hasn't been great at all. I think he's barely a top 12 fantasy kicker.
Yeah, but part of that, though, is the first four games without Brady.
How's he been since Brady's been back?
I'm not saying he's been good, but you're factoring in, you know, the offense being terrible. They got shut up by Buffalo in one game. How often is that going to happen with Brady being under center?
The new Steven Goskowski is Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah, no, but Goskowski's just not having his typical year. He's missed two extra points. He's missed a couple of three field goals. Vinatieri, he's been really good.
He scored 19 points in three games since Brady got back.
That's
he
not
scored
good.
27 in four games before Brady.
Okay. Yeah, people have been asking about it, and I've kept forgetting to bring it up.
Fantasy, I think it's enough kicker analysis for this year.
Yeah, there you go. Fantasy lesson learned. I want to talk about this. I talk about this a lot, and we get questions every week, basically, unless, you know, it's a low-scoring Thursday game. No, but even then, it's, hey, this happened on Thursday. Should I play high upside guys rest of the season? I'm down this amount of points. I always say that I don't really care what happened on Thursday. It's got to be so extreme. And I'll use this example, and I'm not trying to pick on Dave, but Dave was beating me 50-0 on Friday after Thursday night's game. He had Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb. And I beat him. And I didn't change my lineup to, you know, put in high upside guys or anything like that. Also, I never look, you know me, I pretty much never look at who I'm playing against. So I don't base my decisions, oh, he's got Matt Ryan, I'm going to sit Mohamed Sanu for Brandon LaFell, you know, just the scenario. I just think you put in the guys that you think have the best chance of scoring points. I don't like altering my strategy based on what happened on Thursday. And I want to know how you guys feel about that.
You beat me by 9 points, and I'm looking at your bench, and I don't know if there's a player on your bench you would have put into your lineup anyway.
It wouldn't have mattered. I wouldn't have made my decision based on Thursday.
No, but I mean, the only players that you started against me that you might have swapped out, and honestly, I don't even think you would have, because your running backs, you have Matt Ryan at quarterback and Andrew Luck. You decided to go with Ryan. That was a mistake. You still won.
Yeah, oops.
CJ Anderson and Melvin Gordon were going to be your starting running backs no matter what. Antonio Brown and Amari Cooper were going to be your starting receivers no matter what. Kobe Fleener, you had a tight end. You didn't have another tight end that you'd even put in if you wanted to. And DeSean Jackson was your flex, and he's one of those high upside guys that you're going to play when you're down big because he's got the chance to put up big points. So in your example, I don't think you had anybody on your bench.
But like I said,
you would have put in your lineup anyway.
The point is, you look at a team, right, after any week, you look at your team and your opponent's team. You could probably pick two guys who had huge games on both teams. And they're going to be two guys that had bad games. So, you know, I does it make sense what I'm trying to say? I just think that people overreact to Thursday, and sometimes you can make bad lineup decisions because of it.
Or you can make good lineup decisions because of it.
I just think you play the guy that you think is going to score the most points.
Ideally that's the name of the game of fantasy football. But
I don't think you might start a guy that's safer. I don't like the upside stuff so much. I mean, it's part of it, but
you know, some of your lessons learned are like humanities or English, or I mean, they're really important lessons, and some of them are like calculus, where they're a little bit harder to figure out.
I don't know what this one was. The more interesting one is starting like a wide receiver when your opponent has that guy's quarterback.
I tell you, I thought about it in a game last week, and if I had done it, I would have lost. Now it's kind of circumstantial, but I was playing Aaron Rodgers. I just picked up Ty Montgomery, and it was between Ty Montgomery and Cameron Meredith. And before the game started, I thought maybe I should play Montgomery just because he's got Rodgers, because I thought that they were relatively close. I like Meredith more, but had I done that, obviously I would have won.
Right. What do you guys think? Because my philosophy is it really doesn't matter. You play the guy that you think is going to score the most fantasy points.
Yeah, I
think that's what it boils down
to. Yeah, but again, it was just something that crossed my mind. Okay. And in hindsight, because of Hoyer being hurt, had I done it, I would have won.
The whole point about changing your lineup on Thursdays after you're down big is because you're already assuming that you're going to lose. So you might as well take a chance anyway with a player who could come up with a huge game.
Yeah, but
like
I just don't buy it.
You might not normally start anyway, and if you lose, well, oh well, you're going to lose no matter what. You're
just living on a prayer.
It's so rare to be down so much on a Thursday that you can't come back. I just, I always go back to Peyton Manning against the Ravens when he threw 7 touchdowns. I had him and I lost that week to Jamie by 1 point. That was the season opener on Thursday night. All right, guys, your favorite buy low candidate, your favorite sell high candidate, and one preseason prediction you wish you could take back. Let's start with your favorite buy low candidate, and let's go to Heath.
Yeah, I'll say Alshon Jeffrey. Brian Hoyer's hurt, so we don't have to worry about that whole he only throws right thing anymore. Jay Cutler's coming back, and we know how he likes to force feed Alshon. And I didn't quite have a good grasp of how low the perception on Alshon was until yesterday, or maybe how high the perception is on Michael Thomas, but I try to do on Tuesdays some who would you rather have rest of season polls. Alshon only came in at 52% against Michael Thomas.
Wow.
Like half of people out there prefer Michael Thomas to Alshon Jeffrey. There's no, and I love Michael Thomas.
Because one guy's scoring touchdowns and the other guy right. has been really bad.
I think Michael Thomas might be the best receiver in New Orleans, but I don't want him over Alshon Jeffrey. Not with Jay Cutler back.
I'm worried about that offensive line. And anytime Jay Cutler's behind a bad offensive line, problems happen. And it could be an injury. It could be a turnover. It could be both on the same play. And Cutler looks terrible. And then we're right back to Matt Barkley. There's a lot of risk.
Yeah.
And there, I think there's risk with Alshon, too. I don't mind the idea of trying to trade for him real, real low. I was asked on a radio show this morning, is it time to cut Alshon Jeffrey? That's on people's minds.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can get Alshon and he's depth for your team, he's your third or fourth receiver, and all you have to give up is, I don't know, someone really, really
would you give up? Would you give up Michael Thomas?
No, I'd rather have Thomas.
I would give up Thomas.
I think you have to do that.
I don't think you do. I think you're overvaluing Alshon based on his name, and you're not paying attention to what Michael Thomas is doing. It's not like he's scoring touchdowns on 3 targets every week.
No,
he's playing a
Michael
lot,
Thomas is doing.
He's doing really good things.
He's doing really good things. Before last week, when Alshon played with Matt Barkley, Alshon was on pace for 1,300 yards. He just hadn't scored touchdowns. Mm-hmm. If there's a guy that's doing that, I'm always going to bet on him eventually scoring touchdowns.
One thing to add though with Jeffrey is just beware. This Minnesota this week, then a bye. After that, it'll be better. But
yeah, you probably
which
wait
is
one
why
more
the
week.
Time is now. If you like what he's saying, that now's
you,
the time
you
to
can
try
get him for
get
nothing.
Him.
Dave, yeah. Your favorite buy low candidate?
DeAndre Hopkins, who I think we've seen some terrible games from him too, and people are sick and tired of having him. And there is so much negative press on Brock Osweiler that people are ready to jump ship on the Texans, and I don't think the schedule's so bad for them moving forward. They also have a bye in week 9, but I think their toughest matchup left is at Green Bay, and still 2 games with Jacksonville. Maybe one of those could be tough on him, but I don't know if their pass rush is going to get to Osweiler, and that's the whole deal. Cincinnati week 16 at home could be a little difficult too.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, Dave, because I last night I looked at the 10 worst teams in fantasy points allowed to quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. I try to find the teams and the players that have the best matchups for weeks 14, 15, and 16, and really the rest of season. And Houston, like, they don't really have bad matchups, but I do wonder about Hopkins himself, because, you know, if you look at Jalen Ramsey and if you buy into him and what he did against Amari Cooper last week, Hopkins has 2 games against Jacksonville. He faces David Amerson at Oakland. San Diego and Green Bay should be good, but Indianapolis in week 14 and Vontae Davis already did a good job on him. Jacksonville again in week 15, Cincinnati in week 16. His fantasy playoffs, I don't know how to feel about them. I think you could make the case that he's got tough matchups, Hopkins, in weeks 14, 15, and 16. Not necessarily the team, but he himself might be going up against some pretty good cornerbacks.
I'm never worried about a guy like DeAndre Hopkins in a matchup against a good cornerback. I'm way more concerned about the quarterback for Houston having to deal with a tough matchup. And we saw it last week. He was petrified against Denver. Osweiler was terrible. Look at the pass rushes that Osweiler is going up against the rest of the way. And name three that really, really freak you out. I don't think there are three.
Okay.
And so, because I think Osweiler is going to not turn it around to the point where he's going to be good for fantasy, but good enough for DeAndre Hopkins. I like the idea of getting him at a relatively inexpensive price.
Jamie, your favorite buy low candidate?
I think just because nobody cares about him right now because he's hurt is Doug Martin. You can get him for nothing.
My friend texted me yesterday and said I was offered LeGarrette Blount for Doug Martin. I told him to keep Martin. What would you do?
Depends what your situation is. If you're not playing Blount, then sure. Or if you wouldn't need to play Blount, then sure. But otherwise, I'd take Blount just because
I would too.
You're getting, you know, good production now.
If I'm 3-4 or 4-3, then yeah, I'm probably taking Blount. If I'm off to a good start and I'm 5-2 or 6-1, I'm probably holding Martin.
Right.
Yeah, if I'm 6-1, I'm still trading for Blount.
I think the teams that are playoff bound should try and see if you can get Martin cheap.
But yeah, not at the price of LeGarrette Blount.
One of the things I like, though, in comparing the two, is that Martin's already had his bye week, which is a nice little added bonus. If you could trade a guy who still has his bye to come and get Doug Martin, who's not going to miss that extra game. He's going to miss this week, but I don't know. I think that's something you can kind of consider right now. The bye week thing might go a little unnoticed when you're making trades. Yes? No?
Yeah, sure, sure.
How about sell high candidates? Jamie, your favorite sell high?
I mean, Jay Ajayi, just because some of the trade offers I've been asked about. Somebody asked me yesterday, Mike Evans for Jay Ajayi. You'd do that in a second.
Heartbeat.
So, you know, I think he's got a chance to be good. But in most cases, he was either picked up off waivers or you're probably your fourth running back in some cases. Unless you need him, same situation. Sell him for as high of a peak as you could possibly get.
But it's not about selling him just to get rid of him.
Yeah, that's what I said. Just if
right.
You need him.
Like,
you don't sell him.
Like you said, Mike Evans. What about Dez Bryant or Brandon Marshall?
Yeah, I think
I would trade him for those guys.
I think it comes down to what your team needs are, because again, this is a guy that is dependent on the five guys in front of him staying healthy, and now teams are going to load the line of scrimmage and make them throw. So he could still be very good, if not great, but this is as high as you could possibly get.
All right, your favorite sell high, Heath.
I'm going to go T.Y. Hilton, but only if you can sell him as a top five wide receiver. I don't think he's going to be. I mean, even this year, he's been pretty up and down. He's got three games over 130 yards and three games under 50 yards. And Dante Moncrief is right around the corner, which is going to decrease his target volume, I think. And he's got at least 10 targets in every single game. I can't see that continuing once Moncrief's back. So I wonder if you could package him with a small piece for Antonio Brown, because people are worried about Brown with that bin, or if you could package him for Odell Beckham. I would do that.
Okay, Dave, I think your favorite sell-high candidate was also Jay Ajayi, but assuming
it was.
You get a haul. So let's do one preseason prediction you wish you could take back. This was an idea from Dave Richard himself, so you must have something good, Dave.
Well, I was muttering to myself after I saw that Jay Ajayi had more rushing yards in two games than Todd Gurley all season, that I wish I had never said Todd Gurley was the number one running back in fantasy. And so I still believe he's super talented, and I still think he's going to have this huge role in the Rams offense, and he's had it. He just is buried by an offensive line that's worse than I thought it would be, and an offense that – and listen, I think the Rams have actually done a nice job improving as a passing team, but still it's not what I expected. I know I had David Johnson number one in PPR. I wish I had Johnson ahead of Gurley if I had the number one pick in drafts back in August and September.
How much of it is him?
I don't think a lot of it is him.
I think
I agree, but
more of it now than at the beginning of the year.
Some of it's him.
He's getting worse.
I mean, he can't sit here and say, you know, Melvin Gordon this when the numbers are kind of similar. Right. Yards per carry, all those things.
Oh, yeah, he's barely been better than Gordon over the last 16 games.
That's funny. Those two guys were, you know, joined at the hip at the draft.
Right. But he's doing what Melvin Gordon did last year, because Gordon sucked last year behind a terrible offensive line, and now it's Gurley.
He's doing what Melvin Gordon's doing this year. It's just Gordon's getting more carries inside the five.
Yeah, but Gordon is, and he's succeeding on those carries, whereas Gurley isn't succeeding nearly as much. But I think Gordon's offensive line is better. No, he scored a couple of goal line carries.
Okay, Jamie, how about you? Give me a preseason prediction you wish you could take back.
Yeah, I hate Michael Floyd and everything that he stands for. No, it's just frustrating watching him continue to fail. And if you were to say that John Brown has been a disappointment, I would have thought, okay, Michael Floyd would be even better. But he's just dropping the ball, can't make plays. He scores and gets you minimal yardage on top of it when he does score. It's really annoying. He's just really annoying.
How droppable is Michael Floyd?
I don't know right now, just given the John Brown, Jaren Brown scenario. Like if I've held him all this time, I would just kind of ride it out for the next couple of weeks, unless I needed somebody. You know, clearly you would drop him for the Packers guys. You'd drop him for Moncrief if he's out there. If you're stuck, you need somebody like Marquise Lee in a PPR league, you do that. Jamison Crowder. I mean, you know, not exactly the best of the best, but, you know, like I have him in a couple of deep leagues, 14 team leagues, 16 team leagues. I'm just going to hold on to him at this point.
Okay. Could be a good week for whoever the number two wide receiver is for Arizona.
JJ Nelson.
And Heath, how about you? A preseason prediction you want to take back?
I would like to act like I'm not going to trust Jamaal Charles at all coming off of his second knee injury, and he's probably not going to be as good as he was, and Spencer Ware is just the man, and you should draft him as a number one running back.
Okay, I remember you said those exact words.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Not exactly.
No, you had faith in Jamaal Charles. I listened to it. So really, you just really screwed me over in like a lot of fantasy leagues this year.
I think I'm probably the reason that you're not having a good year in any league that you're having a bad league.
Yeah, thank you. At least we got that out of the way.
You've got somebody to blame.
So week 9 and week 10 have a lot of buys. In week 9, Arizona, Chicago, New England, Washington, Cincinnati, and Houston are on bye. And then 4 byes in week 10, Buffalo, Detroit, Indianapolis, and Oakland. Some very good offensive players there. I took a look, guys, at quarterbacks that might be available now. If you have a quarterback on bye in week 9 or 10 that you might want to pick up. And, of course, I started with Cleveland. So Dak Prescott has Cleveland. Maybe Tony Romo has Cleveland in week 9, but Prescott 76% owned. I gave you the list if you're looking at the notes, and is there anybody that stands out that you should pick up right now to get ahead of the game for weeks 9 and 10 when your quarterback is on bye?
I think Prescott is the top name, and I would even suggest trading the worst player on your bench, the guy you would cut to pick up Prescott if he were on the waiver wire, trade that person to get Prescott if he's somebody else's backup, and that backup doesn't have a bye in week 9 or week 10. A lot of people are stashing Dak just because of Dak and how he's played and how consistent he's been, and, you know, one of those in case of emergency types, like Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott on the same team. I don't think anybody's ready to start Prescott over Rodgers. And I think you can trade for him on the cheap. And if he's still out there, still available 24% of leagues, go get him. He's going to be good against Cleveland.
Okay, anybody else? There's Tannehill, who's got the Jets and the Chargers in weeks 9 and 10. I really love to pick the idea of picking up Joe Flacco if you own Stafford, Carr, or Luck, because he's got Cleveland in week 10, but that is a Thursday game. I don't know. What do you guys think? Anything that you see from the names I've put in the notes?
I don't see a lot of names. I mean, outside of Prescott, that I'm wasting a roster spot for a week on.
Yeah. You'll wait until the week of to go and get.
And just see who's there.
Well, okay, so let's just say that you wanted to be ahead of the game anyway. Is there anybody that does stand out aside from Prescott? Like, does Tannehill and the matchups against the Jets at home and then at San Diego, does that entice you enough? Because you don't want to leave it to chance. Maybe you're just one of those people that likes to have every base covered, and this is an opportunity to do it with.
I'm not really one of those.
Tannehill
people.
Has an advantage. I know you're still doing our business course.
I'm going to give you the answer, Dave. It's Flacco. Flacco in for week 10. For Luck,
can you trust him?
He has
You can say the same about Tannehill.
Look, he has thrown by far the most passes in the NFL. So I feel like he has to fall into better production. And he's got Cleveland. I know it's a Thursday. But here's the thing. With those three quarterbacks, Stafford, Luck, and Flacco, Stafford, Luck, and Carr on bye. If you wait until Tuesday when the waiver wires run, I don't think you're going to be the only owner in your league that's going after Joe Flacco that week. So as a Luck owner in a lot of leagues, I'm not going to do it now because Flacco's on a bye. Nobody cares about him. But at some point, probably next week, I do think I'm going to stash Joe Flacco.
It also would help if his receiving core is healthy, specifically Steve Smith. I mean, because not that he was putting up great numbers with Smith, but his best numbers came when Smith was on the field. And so that's part of it. I also think with – you have Palmer listed here. I don't know if you mentioned him, right?
Yeah, he's 93% on. I did not mention Palmer.
He's not going to be 93% on after this week because then they have their bye week.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be dropped in a lot of leagues. So would you rather have Flacco on a Thursday night or Palmer, hopefully rested and healthy, against San Francisco?
Palmer, absolutely. I was going to say that. If Palmer gets dropped and you need a quarterback in week 10,
so
that's
the guy. I mean, especially if it's fab, why would you go spend money on Flacco now when you can maybe wait out Palmer and still get that in next week?
Two reasons. One, if Palmer has a big week this week against Carolina, he's not going to get dropped. Or he might, but he might not. And two, I'm going to spend $0 on Joe Flacco. So I am not investing much in him at all.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if you need a quarterback, he's playing Cleveland. That's really good. Every quarterback has scored 20 fantasy points against Cleveland.
Yeah, we'll see if that continues this week.
Yep, Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. The news and notes. Should we pick up the following players? Ladarius Green, Jeremy Langford, Thomas Rawls.
Maybe Rawls if you've got Christian Michael. The end.
What about Green? Why not Green? We talked about this late in the show yesterday.
I don't know if I'd pick him up now, but if a deeper league, you know, more than a 5 or 6 man bench.
I'm probably personally, and I was lower on him before the year, so, but I'm probably not going to pick him up at this point coming in the middle of the season until I see him do something.
And I was highest on him coming into the year. I liked him better than Kobe Fleener at one point, and I don't want him yet.
Right.
Just because I don't know what kind of shape he's in.
He's missed so much time.
I don't know who his quarterback's going to be, and I don't know how big of a role he's going to have in this offense.
That's three strikes.
Yeah.
You're out.
I'll give you a fourth. How consistent is he going to be?
He's a tight end. What are you looking for? I mean, he's not a...
Oh, is he going to get me 7 points per week, or is he going to be up, down, up, down, or is he going to be down, 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 up, down?
Well, Baltimore in week 9, he faces three teams that have been among the worst against tight ends. So if you were just looking for a streamer and playing it based on matchups, you would probably put Ladarius Green in your waiver wire column. You know, he's got Dallas, Cleveland, and Indianapolis in weeks 10, 11, and 12. And I don't really – look, I'm just going to say that I'm going to assume that Roethlisberger will be back by week 10. The reports have indicated that. I know it's not a certainty, but of all the strikes against him, that's the one to me that worries me the least. I don't know if I should say that. He is Roethlisberger. But the reports have been that he should be back by week 10. So I don't know. I'm surprised that there is so little interest in – an athletic tight end that you guys like so much preseason. Like, why would you care about Deion Lewis and not Ladarius Green?
Who says we care about Deion Lewis?
Well, you did before James White was doing so well.
Well, and I still would care about Deion Lewis before Ladarius Green because he's, you know, got a chance to eventually come back, play, and contribute in an offense that isn't missing a quarterback. And we've seen Lewis play consistently well before.
All right.
But I've got concerns about Deion Lewis. Is he the same guy he was last year? Can he make those quick cuts? Is he going to be put right back on the field and, you know, James White's just going to vaporize?
I don't think he's going to vaporize.
I hope not, because that sounds painful.
Yeah, that's bad.
No, it's really pretty rare for somebody to miss half the season and then just show up and be an effective part of the offense.
Okay.
Like that's, and especially when it's a guy.
When's the last time it happened?
And for it, not just like somebody that was a big part of the offense beforehand, a guy that's never been on the team before.
Right.
He's never played a game with Ben Roethlisberger.
Right. Like I remember when Gronk was on the pup list, he came back and he was pretty good.
Yeah. He's good though.
Right.
Okay. All right, guys. Let me speed it up here. Denver acquired tight end AJ Derby from New England for a 5th round pick. Does this matter?
Yes. No.
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 Julius Thomas did not practice. Do you think he plays tomorrow at Tennessee?
He's got a great track record against Tennessee, and I think there's some opportunities there for him. So I'd like to see him play. Let's see if he practices on Wednesday.
Do you expect the following players, LeSean McCoy against New England?
No.
I hope not.
Hunter Henry at Denver.
No.
Not as of now.
Dwayne Washington at Houston.
Same. Not as of now.
Theo Riddick at Houston.
Also no.
Jordan Reed in London against Cincinnati.
Not as of now, but we're probably about 36 hours away from getting word on that.
And no Doug Martin, Dante Moncrief, or Corey Coleman this week.
Not yet for Moncrief. It looks like he's going to come back in practice. I picked him up in a deep 12-team PPR league that I'm in.
Cool.
And I've got a good record, so stash city.
Great. You know what's better than going to a big game? Saving $20, Dave.
Oh.
Yeah, saving $20 when you go to a big game. You can do that with SeatGeek and our promo code FFT. Download the SeatGeek app. Use the promo code FFT, as in fantasy football today. And once you start using SeatGeek, you're going to realize it's the best, most efficient, most cost-effective way to buy tickets. I've told you a number of things. I've told you that SeatGeek searches multiple ticket sites. I've told you that SeatGeek finds the best deals and ranks the tickets based on value. But I have not told you this. Every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And I know how time-consuming buying tickets online can be. I know it's hard to find the best price, but SeatGeek delivers. Get the best prices on tickets. Try it right now. Our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code FFT, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So, get on that. Jacksonville at Tennessee, Thursday night game. Oh, nice twist there on the Thursday night.
Well, you know,
song.
It's Thursday night football. And everybody should be reminded of the best fantasy advice Adam Azer's ever given.
When in doubt, Thursday's out.
That's it.
Who does that apply to?
There's really no reason to be in doubt here.
All right. DeMarco Murray we like. We love.
Love.
Who else?
I think we're done. I'm still starting Allen Robinson.
I've got lowered expectations. Lowered expectations.
Yeah, I mean, he took the shot at the Jacksonville fans. I think that's the sure sign that he's going to be. I'm probably starting Julius Thomas.
That was a strange transition there.
Yeah, I just.
He like trailed off on your thought and then just switched to Thomas.
Yeah.
I think you wanted to pump the brakes on Allen Robinson.
No, I'm starting Allen Robinson everywhere.
Yeah, me too.
100%.
So why?
I can't believe he's
this bad.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to run. They're going to throw. They'll do some things to try and get him away from McCourty. Not that McCourty's been great the last couple games. He's got a great track record against them.
It does help that Parrish Cox is hurt.
No.
Not going to play.
Does it?
Well, because the guy behind him stinks too. It's Antoine Blake.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that there's
because he had been.
I agree
for Blake,
that there's
right?
an opportunity for him, but I got a feeling Marquise Lee is going to come on.
Okay.
I like the targets the last couple of weeks. I can't believe he leads the team in catches. And Jamie and I were having lunch with Pete Prisco yesterday, and he said the one thing that separates Lee from the rest of these receivers in Jacksonville, he's fast.
He didn't say it in that context, though. He said he's fast. He didn't say comparing him to the other two guys.
But look at the other two guys. If they ran a race, who do you think is going to win?
Marquise Lee.
Marquise Lee is going to win.
Yeah, he's fast.
Sure, that may happen. I also think that Tyreek Hill is going to win the race in Kansas City. It doesn't mean I'm
what if they ran a 40-yard dash?
If Tyreek Hill were playing as much and getting as many targets as Marquise Lee's been getting, then he absolutely would.
What if they ran a 40-yard dash and Blake Bortles started his throwing motion at the same time? Would he let go of the ball before they finished?
Who would win, Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, or the football?
Well, Dave, you wouldn't start Marquise Lee over Allen Robinson, would you?
No, I'm not there yet, but I think he's a good sleeper this week.
Are you guys starting Marquise Lee over Allen Hurns?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And he's been playing outside way more than Hurns. Hurns has moved into the slot.
Okay. So I want to come back to Delanie Walker, but let's do some Allen Robinson comparisons. Willie Snead or Allen Robinson?
Robinson.
Robinson.
Snead.
Devontae Adams or Allen Robinson?
Robinson.
Robinson.
I've got Robinson higher. I have him as the number two receiver.
Devontae Adams or Marquise Lee?
Adams.
All right. Delanie Walker, a top four tight end for you guys in both formats.
Yeah,
Jaguars.
I guess you're starting him too, provided that he's healthy.
All right, but the Jaguars, 3 fantasy points allowed per game to tight ends. Very good.
Have they played great tight ends?
No.
Oh.
But they've had respectable tight ends. Not like they faced like the Jets.
Give me one of the respectable tight ends.
Dennis Pitta, Gary Barnidge, Antonio Gates.
Okay, I guess they qualify as respectable.
Those guys are extremely respectable.
I respect them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not beat them up for their Halloween candy.
Kyle Rudolph? Oh, no, I'm thinking of Tennessee now. Tennessee faced Kyle Rudolph.
Delaney has had at least 8 catches and 10 or more fantasy points in each of 2 games versus Jacksonville last year. I like that.
And
You go back to involvement with Kendall Wright not being a factor, Walker more of a factor.
How do you feel about Marcus Mariota?
He's all right.
Mariota or Prescott?
Mariota.
Bortles. All right, you can't start Bortles, right? I mean, Tennessee's been exposed the last 2 weeks by Kessler and Luck. Potentially exposed. One way or the other, they've been bad. You can't start Bortles, though, right?
I don't care if he plays well. I'm not taking the chance.
Right. I'll start him in a 2 QB league.
I've got him ranked 21st.
I got him ranked 24th.
I've got him 21st.
Yeah, we have him in the same spot.
I would start Osweiler over him, Fitzpatrick over him.
I agree with both of those.
Alex Smith.
Smith, easy.
I would start
Alex
Smith.
For sure.
Would Tom Brady.
Oh, Carlos Hyde getting traded to the Patriots. No, would you start Mariota or Carson Palmer?
Palmer.
Mariota.
I think I feel better with Mariota.
Really?
I think Carolina's going to win that game easy.
Really?
I don't know if it'll be
easy. Coming off their bye week, they're getting healthier. Their secondary is getting healthier.
How about Dalton or Mariota? I just don't know if they have any good members of their secondary.
Yeah, it's not
Dalton or Mariota.
Bradbury was playing well before he got hurt.
Yeah, Dalton or Mariota.
Dalton.
I've got Dalton a spot higher, but I've gone back and forth between the two.
Dalton. Dalton will play well with Breland and Norman out there.
Cousins or Mariota?
Both going to be out? Ooh la la, and you know it's going to have a field day.
Cousins or Mariota?
Cousins.
Yeah, okay.
Cousins. I got Rivers over Mariota. Too.
Cousins is just Mr. Consistency. 2020.
And that concludes Jacksonville, Tennessee. The Tennessee DST is top 10. The Jacksonville DST is outside the top 20 for Dave and Jamie. Heath has them 13th. Believe it or not, the Titans allow the third most fantasy points to opposing DSTs.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Ta-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Best playoff matchups. So again, I looked at teams that have multiple matchups in weeks 14, 15, and 16 against bottom 5 defenses against a particular position. So I looked at most fantasy points allowed to quarterback, the 5 worst teams. And then I did the same thing with the 10 worst teams. So really the big winner in this whole exercise is the Chargers. The Chargers, as of right now, about halfway through the season, they face 3 defenses that are in the bottom 6 in fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks, as in, you know, most fantasy points allowed. Carolina, Oakland, and Cleveland.
I was going to say Miami and Tampa Bay were in that mix too, but they're not.
As in their matchups?
They're bad, yeah, bad against, they allow a lot of fantasy points to quarterbacks.
I don't know about Tampa Bay, but Miami was outside the top 10.
Tampa, yeah, their schedule is outstanding.
Oh, the Chargers, after this week, I mean, it's not just the playoffs, but I think, you know, the Chargers, I'm not sure about it for Melvin Gordon, but for the passing game, it is beautiful. Tennessee, Miami, then a bye, at Houston, Tampa Bay, at Carolina, Oakland, Cleveland.
Hey, I got a buy low based on that, Tyrell Williams.
Yeah.
Who, even though he had a big game last week, I don't know if people are going to buy into him. And he's going to stink after Denver. What's that?
I picked him up in a couple leagues last night and actually just traded him in one league.
You picked him up and traded him?
No, I picked him up in a couple leagues and in another league I traded him.
Where you already had him?
Yes.
I hate people that pick up players and then trade them right away.
I love doing that. It's the best.
If I can get away with it, I'll do it, but I just think that that's kind of cheap.
Well, why is it cheap? Like if everybody wanted Devontae Adams and you were first on waivers or you spent the most for him, why would you not try and trade him if you don't need him?
If I got a good offer for him, of course I would.
Sure.
Cheap bastard. All right, so sorry, that was really mean.
That was offensive.
Yeah.
Look, let's think of it this way. Okay? You're walking through your neighborhood and you're at a garage sale and you see this piece of junk and they say, "You know, you can have that for a nickel." And you know it's worth $10.
You'd buy it for the nickel and then sell it on eBay.
You can go trade it for a pizza.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then you have a pizza instead of a nickel.
So this
I just
like,
bought a pizza for 5 cents?
This is like flipping.
Well, there's a lot of work involved, though.
This is like flipping Tyro Williams.
I just take it back to my house.
The piece of junk?
And have you ever sold anything on eBay? Like, it's such a hassle to, like, take
pictures. No, you just put it on Facebook now. They come to your house.
I don't want people coming to my house.
Hey, it took Dave like 5 years to follow me on, friend me on Facebook, so I don't think he's going to be selling anything there.
I've got something to shoot for now.
Other.
And hold out for 5 years.
Other
and,
teams.
And is it worth it, Adam? Do you love it that we're Facebook
friends? No, I don't really go on Facebook much. Now, be quiet. Other teams that have good playoff matchups, quarterbacks. Matt Ryan faces San Francisco in week 15 and Carolina in week 16. Houston, forget that. The Rams, forget that. San Francisco, forget that. And Tampa Bay faces, and this is important, Tampa Bay faces New Orleans in weeks 14 and 16 and at Dallas in week 15. So that's another reason to like Doug Martin, to like Tampa Bay going forward.
Yep.
Running backs. There are a few winners here. Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Tampa Bay have great playoff schedules, weeks 14, 15, and 16. Buffalo, you know, I don't know about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I think they'll be better once Cameron Hayward and Shazier come back, but that's Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Miami for Buffalo. Carolina has San Diego, Washington, and Atlanta. Those are three bottom 10 teams. Cincinnati has Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and then at Houston. So pretty good stuff there for them. The Rams, Todd Gurley might win you a fantasy championship because San Francisco is giving up 185 rushing yards per game. If they ended the season at that, it'd be the most in at least the last 10 years. The only running back who hasn't rushed for 100 yards, the only lead running back.
I know the answer to this.
Is Todd Gurley against San Francisco.
It was week one.
Yeah, it was week one with Bowman in San Francisco.
Yeah, the Niners were hot.
Speaking of Todd Gurley, I went back and looked at carries inside the five. And Gurley scored on 6 of 9 of those last year. Mm-hmm. He's 3 for 7 this year. Melvin already has 11. Seven for 11 inside of the five. Mm-hmm. Wow. Last year he was 0 for 2.
Wow.
Yeah, better offense, more opportunities.
Another team with good playoff matchups, the New Orleans Saints, but that's a little, I actually think it's a bad matchup because right now Tampa Bay is giving up, they're in the bottom 10 in fantasy points allowed to running backs, but I think once they get McCoy back, which they have, I think they'll be better now. So Tampa Bay, Arizona, and Tampa Bay for New Orleans, I don't think I like that very much in the playoffs for Mark Ingram.
And two of them on the road.
But are they getting everybody back on their defensive line?
Yeah, you never know. Oakland.
They were missing guys last week, and look, you know, Mike Davis scored, Sean Jones scored on a pass.
Oakland's got a pretty good setup after they played Denver in week 9, and then they have a bye. Then it's Houston, Carolina, Buffalo, at Kansas City. In the playoffs, it's at Kansas City, at San Diego, and home against Indianapolis, and they get Denver in week 17, which is nice. So Latavius Murray maybe benefits there. And actually San Diego themselves, they have Oakland and Cleveland in weeks 15 and 16, and they have Carolina in week 14, so maybe not bad for Melvin Gordon. And I mentioned Tampa Bay. Anything, you know, I think San Diego jumps out to me. I think Oakland and Cincinnati. I don't know. Yeah. By the way, you guys don't have to put any stock into this. I do this exercise every year. I'll let people determine what it means to them. But just want to throw these names out there. Okay. Wide receivers. Guess who's got good matchups? San Diego.
Tampa Bay. Oh, I thought you were going to say Tampa Bay.
San Diego does. New England. Washington, not bad. They have Carolina and Chicago in weeks 15 and 16. Buffalo's got Cleveland and Miami. This one wasn't quite as revealing. But Chicago, they've got Detroit and Green Bay in weeks 14 and 15, and then potentially Josh Norman in week 16 for Alshon Jeffrey. Let's skip wide receiver and look at tight end. And the team that stood out to me at tight end, San Diego, Carolina, Oakland, and Cleveland.
Right.
So that was the biggest takeaway for me is the Chargers.
I think that schedule, that three-game stretch is really good. I don't like that two of them are on the road. You know, Carolina and Cleveland are on the road, long trips for the Chargers.
And I don't like, okay, so they've got good tight end matchups. What? Who's their tight end by then?
I still think you assume it's Hunter Henry.
Yeah,
we're going to assume Gates gets hurt again by then?
It could be both of them.
I mean, it could be both of them, in which case neither of them are that exciting.
Asante Cleveland, is he still there? Could he be their tight end of choice by then?
Nice call, Big Kane One. Asante Cleveland.
I don't know if he's still there.
Okay, well.
If he is, that's a good call.
Bottom line, trade for some Chargers after they play Denver. I think it looks pretty nice. And let's read some emails to finish the show. This is from Casey. Where's Casey from?
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Casey says, great the trade. Oh, he's from the City of Flags, by the way. Is that Tuscaloosa?
I think so.
Okay, great. Give up Todd Gurley and Willie Snead. Get Julio Jones.
I think I actually like the Julio side better. So
good. I did too.
What, does it do anything for you to know that Todd Gurley has San Francisco in week 16? And
I gotta get to week 16 first.
Yeah, he has New Orleans coming up. He's got Miami coming up.
Yeah, but he's also got Carolina coming up and the Jets coming up.
And at New England is never easy.
No.
So did we give a grade there? Heath, can you give it a grade since you're the only one who grades?
Yes, I will give that a B.
This one is from Alan in Port Orchard, Washington. Hey, Jack, John, Jacob, and the man in black.
It's lost, right?
Is it? Yeah, good for you. Good for you, Heath. What's up with the Vernon Davis ranking this week? Jamie has him 6th, Dave 13th, Heath 20th. That's a pretty big gap. What gives? Jamie.
He's been involved the last 2 weeks. No Jordan Reed. The Bengals have been hit or miss against tight ends. I think Davis will be good, top 10 tight end.
I think my problem this early in the week is I haven't sold myself as much on the no Jordan Reed thing. And I feel like I'm going to end up moving Davis down because Reed's going to get cleared later this week.
Right.
So I just didn't rank Davis high enough because I would move him up if Reed was ruled out.
They've been bad against good tight ends. Like Jesse James. I don't know if Jesse James qualifies as good, no. But Ben Roethlisberger's good. He got 2 touchdowns to his tight ends against Cincinnati. Denver used the tight end against Cincinnati to score a touchdown. New England definitely used Gronk. And
that's
Gronk
the first
went
one that makes
game.
Sense about good tight ends.
Right, okay. But they've played a lot of crappy tight ends too, and they've done a nice job against them. Like Barnage last week. And
I mean, Kirk Cousins over the last, what are we, 6 games in for him? 7 games in for him? So that's what, 23 games? He's leaned on his tight end pretty well. Pretty significantly.
I think he's a good streaming tight end option. I'm not ready to put him in my top 5 or whatever Jamie did. Top 6? I think it's a little dicey. A little dicey, risky.
And I kind of feel like the difference between the 6th and 13th tight end this week is a big shrug.
Hmm. Next, I don't even think it's that big of a shrug.
Next email.
It's a little shrug.
Oh, there's a PS from Alan. Late entry into Team Name Tuesday, I went with Ezekiel Ran the Wheel. This is a play on an old gospel song called Ezekiel Saw the Wheel, which I expect most people have never heard of. Let me just say, you can't have an obscure team name. That's just...
You can't make team name rules. You consistently spend 10 to 15 minutes a week on terrible team names. Somebody sends in a terrible name, read it. That's what you do.
There's a lot that I don't read. And unfortunately, a lot that I don't read are actually really funny but inappropriate, and I can't read them on the air. That's probably the number one reason why Team Name Tuesday consistently underwhelms.
I have an idea. I want you to send me the inappropriate ones, and I will make them appropriate for the podcast.
Okay.
How's that? And that's what we'll do for Terrible Team Name Tuesday.
How long before Dave says, I don't have enough time for this?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. There's no way you're going to do
that. I'm
going
to do it right when I see it. Adam will say, okay, Dave, let's, say the emails, and I'll see the names from the email that Adam sends me, and I'll translate them then.
I'm going to say, you're going to do something right then, and it's going to be respond back and say, I don't have time for this.
Maybe.
Week 9 is the over-under for when Dave quits.
Week 9, though, is... 6 teams on bye. I've got a little more time.
Dave from York, Pennsylvania, grade the trade. Give up Brandon Cooks. Get Mark Ingram, PPR.
I think it's a win for you, but not by a lot.
C-.
Mark Ingram is a very frustrating player. I want to talk about him. I want to know how you guys are feeling about Mark Ingram.
Have you seen Brandon Cooks?
He is
not
also
exactly Sir Consistent.
No, this is really less to do with the trade. I put these emails in so we could talk about things that I think are going to help a lot of fantasy owners. And I don't know how to value Mark Ingram. You know, Drew Brees is on pace for like 45 touchdowns. And that is killing Mark Ingram because he's not getting those 1-2 yard rushing touchdowns this year. Drew Brees the last 2 years have been 33, 32 touchdowns. So I'm thinking there's a chance that Brees slows down with the touchdowns a little bit. Ingram benefits from it. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Like, I don't even think it's so much Brees. We kind of expected him to throw 40 touchdowns. It's the fact that, and he's got 2 through 6 games, so he's on pace for 6 or something. Not great.
2 rushing or 2 total?
2 receiving, 1 rushing. So 3 total.
All right.
But I think it's the fact that John Kuhn and Kobe Fleener have like 5 rushing touchdowns combined. That's what's killing him. Like, the Drew Brees touchdowns we can live with, but if Kuhn and Fleener are going to combine for 15, he's in trouble.
Okay. Is Ingram a top 12 running back for you guys?
Yeah.
Rest of season, I mean.
Yep.
Borderline. I think he's close. He is 12th for me. Tied with Todd Gurley and LeGarrette Blount.
Deep 14-team league standard scoring. This is an email from Dan from Chicago. Because of bi-apocalypse, I need to drop a quarterback for a wide receiver. Who should I drop, Mariota or Cousins?
I guess it's Mariota because Cousins is who you're starting.
I would drop Cousins. I would rather start Mariota this week, and Cousins has a bye next week, and then he has Minnesota. Okay.
That's a great point. Drop Cousins.
And here's an email from Donald from Boston. Hey, Donald. On your Tuesday podcast, you said to sell high on C.J. Anderson. I'm being offered Randall Cobb for C.J. Anderson. Should I pull the trigger? I followed your advice last week, and I swapped Kobe Fleener for Latavius Murray, and that worked out well. So what should I do? Should I give up C.J. Anderson for Randall Cobb?
Kobe Fleener for Latavius Murray. I'm surprised anybody's still trading with you.
Yeah.
This one's much closer than that.
I agree. I still like C.J. Anderson.
I think I do.
It's a little harder in a PPR, but in a standard, I like CJ.
If CJ Anderson's your third or fourth best back and your wide receiver is stuck, I would do it. In a vacuum, I think it's a losing deal.
This is from Ryan. Where's Ryan from?
Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Mm.
Dear Bernard, Teddy, and William. That would be Bernard Hopkins, Teddy Ruxpin, and William Clay Ford.
3 warm, fuzzy people.
Buy or sell, Dez Bryant emerges as a number one wide receiver with either Dak Prescott or Tony Romo at quarterback.
I can buy it.
Buying it?
I think Dak's gotten better without Dez. And Dez is going to play a lot in that offense. Still going to be a little lean toward the run.
I think he's a number two as if Dak stays the quarterback, and number one if Romo becomes the quarterback.
I don't know what Romo is anymore.
He's a person.
Yeah,
I know that, but he's a person. I don't know how good his arm is or how well he'll hold up.
We don't know that.
Is he going to get nervous?
It's not like Dak's taking shots down the field. I mean, Dez is going to have to reinvent himself a little bit to be a number one with Dak.
Well, I mean, think about it. He had, what, 2 good games before he got hurt? Mm-hmm. He had a 100-yard game and then a touchdown?
Mm-hmm.
2 good fantasy games, at least?
Yeah.
Out of how many games? Out of 3?
4, I think it was. Then he got hurt in the 4th one.
Yep, that seems right. He had 2 bad and 2 good. And one of the good ones, I mean, no, he only played 3 games. He had one reception, 8 yards.
The stinker against the Giants where he had the touchdown go out of his hands.
The Bears game, I mean, he scored 10 fantasy points with a touchdown. So
that was the game he got hurt, right?
Yes, but he played 52 snaps. I mean,
but who knows when he got hurt in that game?
Late. And then the Redskins game.
He played through the injury. I'm not saying it wasn't late, he played through it.
And then he had 10 fantasy points against the Redskins. I don't. He hasn't had a wide receiver 1 game yet.
No. But I mean, just given the fact that he was shaking off the rust from the foot injury from a year ago, getting used to Dak, which is something that, you know, any wide receiver is going to take time. I mean, if that was the floor, 100 yards and a touchdown in 2 out of 3 games, I'll take that as the floor.
Dez or Jordy?
I can't quit Jordy yet.
Yeah, I'm probably still going Jordy too. I think they're both number 2s though.
Jordy's got the better quarterback, so I'll take Jordy.
Dez or Allen Robinson?
Robinson.
Dez.
Really? Rest of season, you're going Robinson over Dez?
Yep.
So then how could you buy Dez Bryant as a number one wide receiver?
I don't.
Yeah, Jamie, though.
Why can't I buy both of them?
You think Allen Robinson is a top 12 receiver?
He's too talented.
You know, Pete Prisco was actually talking about it. You should listen to the Roughing the Passer podcast. And Pete knows Jacksonville as well as anybody.
Didn't we just tell you we had lunch with him?
Yeah, but he was talking about it on the Roughing the Passer podcast.
I think everybody else besides Dave and Jamie should listen to the Roughing the Passer podcast.
Absolutely.
All of our listeners.
Well, he said what I thought was kind of, I'd like to challenge Pete on this. He said that Allen Robinson is not beating the double team. He said the next step to become a real elite number one receiver, he has to beat the double team, and he's not doing it. And I would love to know, seriously, I'm not questioning, I'm not saying he's wrong. I would just love to, wasn't he getting double teamed last year?
Here's the thing that I feel like we kind of screwed up on with Allen Robinson. And you look at how he produced as a number one wide receiver and some of the catches he made. And there's very few receivers that consistently make those types of catches.
That's Hopkins, same
year.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was almost as if it was just like there's no way he's actually quite that good. And I don't like he's got a lot more drops this year, but his drops aren't like some receivers' drops. It's not like he's wide open, the ball is hitting him in two hands, and they're calling it a drop. He's trying to make a great play, and he's dropping it.
Well, I remember the last drop he had last week, and that was one of those plays.
He had a lot of drops last week.
Yeah, he was brutal. The last 2 weeks have been really, really bad for him.
I'm not giving up on him.
Okay. Let's finish it with this one from Brian from a coastal California city. Dave?
I don't know.
Oh, that's so lame. Hey, winter, spring.
Let's go San Diego. They're on the coast, right?
Yeah.
They're not inland in California. No.
Hey, winter, spring, summer, and fall. Who's a better stash rest of season? Get it? Because of the seasons?
Oh.
Who would be which season?
That's a great question. Dave is summer.
I was thinking Dave was winter. I think Dave's winter.
No, Dave is spring. He's got that pep in his step.
I have pep in my step?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Okay.
I think I'm winter.
Because you never go outside.
I never go outside. I don't like anything.
Right.
Then who's summer and who's fall?
I'm going to nominate Heath for summer and Jamie for fall.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. Who's a better stash rest of season, Thomas Rawls, James Starks, or Dwayne Washington?
Whew. I'm going to say Starks just because I think he is going to get 15-plus carries at some point. I'm not sure the other two are.
Over Dwayne Washington? Okay.
I'll take Washington just because I think he has the best chance to be a starter.
I heard the wrong Washington.
You thought it was DeAndre Washington?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Dwayne.
If it's Dwayne Washington, I would probably pick him up now.
Yeah, I'm really hoping Dwayne Washington plays this week. I really
Me too.
Need him to play. Please, Dwayne Washington, get back in there. All right, fun show, guys. Thank you very much. We are the Four Seasons, and I guess I'm Frankie Valli.
That's you're winter.
Yeah, all right, fine. But who's Chris Towers is Frankie Valli, and we're the Four Seasons. Thank you for listening, everybody. We're back tomorrow. Start or sit, AFC home games.